Okay, so covenant marriage.
Yeah, okay. So first off, hey, everybody, welcome to Propaganda. That is Tuesday, November 26th at 8 p.m. We're doing a weekday record because it's the week of Thanksgiving. And Alec, before we start,
Thanksgiving,
I wanted to ask, what are you thankful for this year?
What am I thankful for? I'm thankful for the podcast, Connor. I'm thankful that for my beautiful baby boy, to make it sappy for a second. I'm thankful that I have a job now to pay for fucking daycare. You know, have health and wealth and all that kind of shit.
Yeah.
You know, we're not dead. That's good. We're not even sick. And that's good.
True. I am also thankful for the podcast. I found out in the past week, I've been told I have a short fuse, and so the podcast has really helped me decompress and get my frustrations with the world out. So I'm grateful.
Let's talk therapy, folks. Talk therapy for you and talk therapy for us.
Yeah, hang on a second. They're not our sponsor, so let's
oh well.
Let's rein it in.
Pay us. Yeah. Pay us. Patreon starting soon.
BetterHelp is a bunch of mental health propaganda, unless
they endorse us. I've been seeing a lot of BetterHelp ads, man.
Oh man,
it's really blanketing.
Like, are you fucked up?
I don't think so.
Are you repressing something?
I should say on the podcast, because we did all the Angel Studios stuff and I did a bunch of like research into like Class A investments and did a like scheme for funding movies. I get a lot of ads from like people who are like, investment opportunity outside of Indianapolis, Indiana, where you can buy up, you know, like under costed housing units, basically people that are like, hey, we're putting together this thing and we're going to buy up these fucking apartment buildings and jack the rent up and you can get some of the profit back. And it's like, holy shit, why? Awesome. I like didn't realize at first. I was like, why am I getting these? And then they kept saying like Class A investment funding. And I'm like, oh, fucking Google. They sold my shit.
Excellent. Speaking of Angel Studios, well, one last thing I'm thankful for. I'm thankful for my fiance and my dog. I'm very, very happy with them. Yeah, that's one of the main reasons I get to come home, or one of the main reasons I look forward to coming home.
She hasn't kicked me out yet.
Yeah.
I'm thankful I don't live in Texas, but we'll get to that pretty soon.
We shall get to that. Like, Louisiana's any better.
Hey, fuck you,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, the liberal city on the hill of Lake Charles, yes. Louisiana.
Lake Charles, Louisiana.
But real
beautiful
quick.
Place for progressives. Progressive minds. go ahead.
Real quick, before we get into the meat of today's episode, I did want to say that we'll be discussing this much later down the line, but we are returning to Angel Studios. I got to go see Homestead a month before anyone else, the post-apocalyptic Angel Studios film. I wrote a review. If it gets picked up, I'll be sharing it. That's all I can really say.
I didn't know if we wanted to drop that pending rejection. What was that thing you wrote, Connor?
Well, here's the thing. No matter what, if it gets rejected, you can expect to see it on the Propaganda Substack dropping soon.
Yeah. Where all of our failed media projects land.
Yeah, articles and reviews will be heading straight to Substack. We could probably put the podcast on Substack.
Honestly, they might pay us to put it on Substack. I don't know.
Sound off in the chat. Wait, hang on. This isn't live.
If you'll follow us to Substack.
Join our Discord, link in the show notes, and then sound off in the Discord if you would pay for this.
What's that thing that they do on live stream? Chat, is this real? Or they like post a link and they're like, is this a fucking deepfake?
Yeah.
Chat, is this real?
We should work our way up to a live stream. I don't know what we would do.
Dude, I would shit my pants.
Oscars night?
Oscar, I don't know.
Oscar watch night?
I have one movie that I care about, and we haven't reviewed it on the pod, and we probably won't. But it's great. Go see. Is it still out? I have no idea how long it's been.
It'll probably be out.
Go see Conclave. It's a fantastic film. It's the best film I've seen this year. It's really good.
I'm right there with you. I don't know if it's necessarily the best film. I got to like really go through everything I've watched, but I had no notes walking out of it. I loved it.
It was wonderful, folks. It was great. The Catholic Church, very divisive.
I loved watching the very sassy, cunty cardinal.
The evil, gay Italian cardinal.
Suck on his little e-vape.
Hidden his vape the entire time while he's being evil. I love him.
Very funny.
He had a funny name, too.
Yeah, it was Cardinal Gnocchi.
Gnocchi. Cardinal Fettuccini. This is so stupid.
All right, the fun is over. We kind of got to talk about why we decided to record today.
Yeah, shit sucks. It's not great. So it's not good.
Maybe some of y'all remember we did a episode about the Texas GOP party platform that was released earlier this year. Well, this is kind of a follow-up to that because earlier this month,
it was one of our most serious episodes. We did like a lot of reading actually to do it. And that's because it was like something to take pretty seriously. And we had some pretty dire predictions given what was being talked about in the platform this year. And the session's about to start.
Yeah. So the Texas legislative session is about to start in January. This will be the 89th legislative session. The thing about Texas is they do not have active ongoing legislatures. They meet once every 2 years. And they try to just like squeeze in every single political priority and like kind of a short amount of time. I don't know exactly how long they meet, but I think it's only for like a couple months. If that, it might just be for a month because 2 months. For these people, you know, they this is just a part time job for them that does not pay very well. So they have to leave their houses. They have to go to Austin. They got to find lodging, blah, blah, blah. But yeah, so we're about to start the legislative session. And earlier this month, legislatures filed thousands of bills in the session. And Texas Tribune thankfully did like, you know, a brief overview of some of the more important ones that line up with Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick's legislative priorities. And we are going to go through some of them. And hopefully you'll learn something. Hopefully you'll prepare yourself for what's likely about to come. But I can say I'm going to start off by giving some good news, which is, as we talked about in the review of the GOP platform episode, the Texas GOP party, not necessarily the legislators, but the party was starting to make moves to ensure one party system in Texas. Yeah.
As far as like we were able to read it from like the platform, right? Basically, what they want to do away with is like a popular vote for state office, right? For all of the state offices, for governor, lieutenant governor, for like AG, for like a state commissioners and all that. So what they would do instead is each county would get a vote, and then you would just go by the counties. So like hilariously, as we described before, like Harris County counts the same as like what's the county with like 40 people?
Oh man,
it's so funny. One of the Texas counties has like literally like 40 people that live in it, and Harris County has like 3 million people that live in it. Yeah. So they also count the same because that's democracy, baby.
Oh, let's see here. If we rank it by population, Loving County,
yeah,
which is all at the very west.
Yeah. So as we said before, like they would literally be doing the like, look at the map, all of the land is red meme that like Republicans post online. Very funny.
Yeah.
I mean, not funny if you live there, but funny to me as I do not live in Texas.
It's a little funny to me only because for decades now, being a politically conscious person in Texas, they keep saying Texas is going to flip. It's going purple. Like, I don't really think it is.
Alec is making a jerking off motion into the camera.
Yeah, I just maybe the demographics are, but like the votes definitely aren't getting more and more purple.
Well, if the party could actually get its shit together, maybe they would. But
yeah. Although if you do look at governor's races, they do get closer and closer every year. However, Texas Republican Party has made moves to make it harder to vote. So we'll see if that continues. Anyway,
so I'm just going to point out that I mean, it's possible that one of the bills made it in, but the Texas Tribune hasn't commented on that part.
Right? Correct.
So
and, you know, Alec and I have full time jobs. So if you are waiting to hear about a bill that we don't cover, take it up with the Texas Tribune. They didn't put it in the article that we're going over.
Also, just call your reps, because I think Connor did.
Yep, I sure did. I had questions about one of these bills, and I just called Briscoe Kane, who has been ranked by Rice's Baker Institute as the most conservative member of the Texas House.
That is crazy. That is crazy.
I called him up, and we'll get to that in a second. But all right. So some of the big things that they want to do is they want to eliminate property taxes altogether and create a committee to study alternative methods of taxation. cutting property taxes is going to cost the state about $81.5 billion, and it's likely going to require a increase in the sales tax. So that makes the most sense. Cut property taxes and then hit people where it hurts the most, which is their wallets when they go to the store. Remember, Americans have very short memories and big imaginations, so they're not going to remember how low their property taxes are. They're going to remember, hey, why are eggs so expensive now?
I mean, it's so funny to do this literally after probably an election was lost because of the idea of inflation, like regardless of how true or not that is. Like, that was a driving feature of the presidential election. They're like, ah, fuck it, man. just crank the sales tax up like to 11. Right. Yeah. I mean, also, right, something regressive taxation, right? Like, there's a lot of problems with this, including, right, just raising taxes on consumer goods as opposed to like a fixed asset that hopefully somebody can pay because it's literally tied to like the thing that they live in. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. People, I mean, you know, 2007 notwithstanding, people generally don't live in houses that they absolutely can't afford. And then, you know, consumption tax is just like on the shit that you need, regardless of whether you can afford it. Right.
Yeah.
So, not great. Okay. There's actually a lot of stuff about taxation in there.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's see. Briscoe Kane, who we'll get to again later. He wants to use any kind of budget surplus that we have to reduce the amount of money that school districts collect in property taxes. Now, I'll be getting to some of the school stuff in a second, because I do have something I want to say. But Christina Morales, a Democrat, actually wants to increase the homestead exemption, which, if you didn't know this about the homestead exemption, buy an apiary. Just start keeping bees on your...
Oh, bees. Yeah. Dumbass.
Yeah. Okay. Just start keeping bees.
Like, apes? An apiary? I'm sorry.
If you just have like some bees on your property, your house becomes a homestead and you get
your farm.
Yeah, you get like $100,000 tax exemption on property taxes. If you've ever been driving through Texas and you just see like, hey, why are there gazelles out in hill country? It's because someone is scamming the government.
Llamas and donkeys and all kinds of like husbandry animals that you can just leave out in like a field.
Yeah. And then moving along on this list here, abortion is always a hot topic here in Texas, even more so now because yet another, pregnant woman died because she could not get an emergency dilation and curettage, I believe is, an emergency DNC.
It made national news, and it was exceedingly fucking embarrassing. When was that? Like, the teenager died.
Yeah,
that was like pretty horrific.
Nevaeh Crane. Then,
a bunch of Fox News people were like, "Yeah, that's fake. That's not real." It's like, okay, man, this is fucking brutal.
Yeah,
but that's about how that shit goes. The thing that's weird and not weird is like very predictable is just like Texas lawmakers insisting that somehow that can't be true because the law allows for that breadth, and then doctors screaming about how like it's so dangerous for like their practice, for like a hospital's practice, that basically they're unable to provide care that either wouldn't be criminal or couldn't lapse their malpractice insurance.
Right? Yeah.
And these two groups are just like absolutely talking past each other. Right.
Yeah. You know, over 100 Texan OBGYN signed a letter saying like, look, this near total ban is harming our patients. It's restricting us from being able to save their lives. And so Donna Howard, who's an Austin Democrat, filed two bills that would allow a healthcare provider to, you know, do something if they have to within their reasonable medical judgment. So they're basically protecting the doctors from saying like, hey, look, I had to do an emergency DNC. We had to, you know, give them some kind of health care that the Texas legislature had decided is criminal action. And then on the Republican side, they are just going to allow the attorney general to just like unilaterally prosecute abortion related offenses. So there's just, once again, no compromise from the right in Texas. They don't seem to be learning that, like, hey, this isn't working. You can't claim,
and it's not just harmful, it's like deeply, deeply unpopular, like nationwide. I mean, I've seen some statistics, and this kind of like aggressive position doesn't even seem that popular amongst like Republican voters, but that's their mandate, right? And as long as they keep getting reelected, they're going to be like, oh, they want us to push the kill women button. Right.
Yeah.
It's brutal. Like, you know, what are you going to tell them? Right. They're like, look, this is what I ran on. This is what I believe. And I won. So fuck you.
Yeah. They clearly have no fucking idea what they're doing. So those are the bills filed. Democratic Howard also filed a bill that would allow abortions in cases of rape or incest. And there's already Democrats in the Senate of the Texas legislature who have filed companion bills. So maybe there will be some movement on it.
I would like to see it, but yeah, I'm not going to hold my breath.
Moving on to public education, Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick has said that a school voucher program is a top priority for him. And so for those who don't know, a school voucher program is basically saying that, hey, I don't want to send my kid to a public school. I want to send them to private school. And you get reimbursed for the tuition, at least, through some kind of state fund. So House Bill 212, which was proposed by Representative Briscoe Kane, would establish a process for parents or legal guardians to get reimbursed by the state for enrolling their children into private schools. I read this bill, and there is no indication of where this money is coming from. So I went to Briscoe Kane's website, and there was a phone number, and I called it, and he picked up, which I was not expecting. I thought it would go to voicemail. Well, first it went to this like Google screening, and it was like, say your name. And I'm like, okay. So I said my name, and he picked up anyway. And I asked him, like, hey, I've got a question about House Bill 212. And he said, look, I don't have all the bills memorized, man. When you called me, I was on a tractor, okay? I saw you were calling, and I turned my tractor off to take this phone call. I was like, okay, well, I just would like to know where the money is coming from. And I was, you know, I was like a little bullock. I was like, oh, I'm so sorry about that, Representative Kane. I can let you get back to your tractor.
My apologies, good sirs. I've interrupted you during your harvest.
I simply hate my son's public schools. I want to bring him to a nice Catholic school.
Sorry to disturb you during your evening harrowing.
Yeah, it was like 4 p.m. riding around on a tractor. I'm like, aren't you like a get back to work?
Aren't you a fucking politician? But in Texas, no, no.
Yeah. This is tractor time, boy. So, yeah, he was a little apprehensive to my question, asked me where I worked. I told him, I was honest with him, and he's like, oh, okay, what's your email address? I'll have somebody send you some information. So,
sir, I work at a car wash.
Yeah, I work at the Quick Quack. Maybe I'll get some information on where this money is going to be coming from. But here's the thing. School funding comes from property taxes. They already want to cut property taxes. So we're essentially going to be defunding public schools. So where are we going to get money for these private schools that we're going to use, you know, reimburse people for their tuition, and just their tuition, mind you, let alone like fees and uniform costs and meals. Like, I don't know if private schools are unilaterally across the board covering all that. Alec, you might know more than me. Yeah, they don't cover all that. So you're going to have to pay more than just the tuition. So it just seems like they're really not thinking this one through, and they're just going to end up fucking themselves over later on down the line.
Well, we'll get to this later, but I think that ignoring the problem is the point, right? Like, that we are not here for governance, right? We are here to enact these ideological goals, and whatever comes out of that is unfortunate, but that's somebody else's fucking problem, right? Yeah. Like, it's not my fucking problem. I'm cutting my grass on my tractor, right? Like, this is a you problem.
That you're dead on there, man. I also think it just, I think that with, look, Texas is going to be Texas. So even if my taxes are going to someone's private education, you're still going to have some Texan out there that's like, well, hang on a second. I don't want my taxes going to any education, private or public. So there's going to be a clash between religious principles and libertarian principles. And I'm kind of excited to see how that plays out. You know, fuck those kids. I don't have any. So like,
worst comes to, I mean, again, right? This is you doing the same thing where you're like, this sounds like not my problem, right? Like, this sounds bad and stupid, but this is not my problem, right? Which is also true.
I will give some pushback there on like a moment of sincerity. While I do not have a kid, that doesn't mean that I don't care. Like, I,
yeah, of course. I'm kidding.
Especially working in education, like, I do not want to meet a new batch of students that are just like, oh, buh, buh.
Alec, this is very much my problem.
Yeah. In 5 years, this will impact me. Also, I've got a nephew that I'm a little concerned about now. If he's going to have to learn about the Bible in school and make us all pray at Thanksgiving.
He's a devout Muslim. Connor, I can't read. They didn't teach me to read at school.
Yeah, this is not Arabic. I cannot read this.
Cut that. We're cutting that.
Okay, all right. But you know, there's also some other things that are coming out of the legislative session regarding education. It's not just this school voucher program. We also have House Bill 196, which is going to require all schools to teach that human life begins at conception. So there's your sex ed. That's probably all we're going to get from it. It might, you know, the school voucher program might end up going the same way as something similar did in Louisiana, which we've also talked about, which is like, oh, wait, this private schools also means like Muslim schools, like schools that teach like Islamic principles. Oh, we have to like cut this program completely.
Well,
that actually happened in Louisiana.
The teachers union got into the, I mean, because my wife, when she moved back to town, because she left and then she moved back. When she moved back to town, her first job was not at the school she teaches at now, but at one of the charter schools, because they are always hiring. And the teachers union forced the state, if you were going to open up a charter school in Louisiana, you couldn't just selectively take whatever children you wanted. You also had to be the school of last resort for anybody that was kicked out of basically every other school in the district. So it was this odd confluence of children, right, where you had basically like kids that wanted to get out of admittedly like failing or poor or sometimes even dangerous public schools, right? And then you had all the kids that were so dangerous that they were no longer in those public schools. And so those two groups came back together at these charter schools, which is, you know, I mean, tragic in a way, but also a little bit funny.
On that, there are two bills, one from a Republican and the other from a Democrat. So, all right, some bipartisanship. Let's see where. So right now, school funding, you know, they get their money ultimately from property taxes, but the way that money is doled out is based on attendance base. So if kids aren't showing up to school, you're losing out on money. Truancy can like really fuck up other people's education. When you skip school, you ruin it for everybody, kids. And so
because the schools will be losing funding when you don't come to school.
Yeah.
Which is crazy.
Don't you understand? If you don't go to school, they'll have to shut the school down. Then you won't have to go to school anymore.
Yeah. Oh, convincing argument. Yes, I'll change my ways right away, sir.
So these bills are going to be changing that to an enrollment base. So it's not about how many kids actually show up to school. It's about how many kids do you have on the roster, which could help maintain some stable funding and could fix some other problems that, well, I don't think the Texas legislature cares about fixing anyway. So.
Wait, hold on. My understanding was that they were tying some state funds for schools to truancy. They were going to take money away.
It is currently based on truancy. So schools will lose out on money if kids don't show up to class.
So you're saying is Texas already rules and is very smart.
Yeah. Absolutely. So now it's like, well, 50 out of 100 kids showed up today. So you only get half of like the money you're supposed to get today, as opposed to you have 100 people in your classroom. You prepared for 100 people. Kids didn't show up. That's not your problem. Yeah. Which probably good for, you know, some.
I mean, I don't know how a school makes a kid come to school, right? Like the school can't do that.
Once upon a time, they used to can't they just hire people that's like, I'm going to drive around with my van and like pick up truants and force them to come to school?
Yeah, that's not a bad idea. Get in my van, kids.
Yeah, truancy roundups. Why not? Okay, so this is working in higher education. This is something that's a little alarming. House Bill 281 would require the Texas Higher Education Coordinating Board to eliminate or sanction degree programs when graduates would generally have trouble paying for their student loan debt with their expected earnings. So what this means is we're basically going to eliminate any and all liberal arts degrees.
Yeah, yeah. There is a way to where you read this and you go like, huh. But that's the point, right? Because for those who know, right, the idea is we got to stop paying for all these fucking artsy fartsy degrees and get more welders and engineers in here, right?
Yeah. They come home from college. They ruin Thanksgiving by talking about America's history. And then who's got to pay their rent because they can't find a fucking job, which is interesting. Like, hey, can't we like create some kind of jobs program? Hey, why don't you hire people to put, you know, all these power lines underneath the ground? Nah, let's just like ruin any and all communication degrees.
Connor, that costs money. And we're trying to lower taxes, Connor. What about this do you not get?
It's all gonna fall apart. This libertarian anarcho state is just, it's all gonna fall apart.
It's not good. I mean, I'm serious, it's really not good.
Meanwhile, another bill was filed that would make it so that all college and university students have to take an economics course to graduate. And I think this is already the case because I did have to take econ when I was in college, and I did very good.
I did very well. I was actually a star.
Yeah, I actually knew everything about supply and demand.
It's me. No one specific. This is not an homage to anyone.
I demand.
This is a non-specific accent. No one knows who this is.
I demanded an A in my class and my teacher gave me one. She supplied it to me. I demanded an A and my professor supplied me with one. I held my breath and threatened to kill myself and she gave me an A.
Oh my God. I'm going to go work the Daily Wire. I'm going to found the Daily Wire. This accent is no one specific. Okay. The Whaley Dyer.
Moving on. Border and immigration. Another bill filed by Briscoe Kane creates a Texas Border Protection Unit. We're basically just creating another law enforcement agency that's going to protect the border. Or we're extending the circumstances of Operation Lone Star, where there's another episode we did about this. They're just killing folks at the border. Well, they're not shooting them at the border. Let me rephrase that. They're creating really terrible conditions where people are dying at the border.
Yeah.
And they don't
care.
And
sometimes they put them in jail and they die there, right?
Yeah. I think it's important to keep an eye on this because there was a moment where Texas decided we're going to buy up a bunch of land and or increase the amount of public land that we have. I was like, oh, that's kind of cool. Are we going to make more state parks? Kind of. And then we're immediately giving them over to the Trump administration for detention camps for migrants.
Kind of. Yeah. Kind of.
So they bought a bunch of public land so that they could just like build concentration camps on them without anybody suing them.
Yeah. And I mean, if you're familiar with like state law enforcement, I mean, you know, however bad you think, you know, Customs and Border and ICE is, and they are, right, the state version of this is always going to be a lower budget version of this, right? So the people are going to be poor. The people are not going to be as well trained. Their equipment and facilities are going to fucking suck more. Meaning that, yeah, these people that they're picking up, sometimes literally like out of the desert, are just going to be dying in basically some like cement fucking jail hole that they managed to make with all the taxes that they cut.
Well, my pushback on that, Alec, would say, yes, that applies when a Democrat's in office. Trump coming in, I think Texas is finally going to be happy to take federal funding to basically create concentration camps for immigrants and undocumented people.
And that's another thing that we'll get to later. But like, a lot of this is about getting money from the feds, right? A lot of this is about shaking hands on both sides of the federal and state to get money to things that Republicans care about ideologically, right?
Yeah. And I think it's worth pointing out that Abbott and Trump have quite a nice relationship. I think Trump is looking to Abbott and Operation Lone Star and how Texas is navigating the border crisis to see how he wants to navigate the border crisis throughout the entire nation. There's a reason why we should be paying attention to Texas politics. It's because Trump is basically going to roll out this shit. It's no coincidence that a bunch of people in the Federalist Society, leaders of the Federalist Society, got their start in Texas think tanks, conservative think tanks. So goes Texas, so goes the nation, especially when there's a Republican in the White House.
So Texas is a breeding ground for these kinds of things. It seems like it's finally going to be the right time for them, because if I have anything to say about the last Trump administration, I think it was categorized by ineptitude and a kind of lack of focus more so than anything, right? Like, the thing that Trump people always say is that Trump was resisted at every turn. The deep state fucked him. The courts fucked him, right? Like, he would have done so much more and like fixed so much more stuff if there just had been less opposition to him. And unironically, I think one of the things that hampered, you know, the great Republican experiment that like Trump could have been was the fact that various actors that were on his side weren't quite ready to like take up arms with him, you know, a kind of against like the status quo of, I guess, not shooting people at the border and having taxes. Right. So Trump is going to be far more effective within the states that are ready to see him rise. Right. And these kinds of bills are going to come, right, that they're going to be voted on literally as Trump is being inaugurated, if not like right after. And the implementation of them, especially when it comes to like, you know, the like federal monies that would be allocated to them, is perfect for a quick turnaround and a quick like snap your finger policy win for an incoming Trump administration that was somewhat unable to produce them in the past. Right. Like, these kinds of guys always got along with Trump the first time. Right. But now they're ready to like to hit the ground running with like a starting gun. Right. Which they weren't last time. And at the same time, the flip side is also true, where like these guys are 100% going to go to bat for Trump. Right. Like, he is their lifeline to all of these like federal monies. And I'm not smart enough to talk about, you know, the United States dying empire and like a state of falling profits and decline. But I don't think you have to be super in the know to notice, for instance, that a lot of these are weird money making schemes. And those are all reliant inevitably on the feds, right? Like, you slash and burn and cut all the taxes you can, and then somehow you approach the federal government with like your fucking hands out saying like, we need money for border security or whatever. We need money for like more education funding. And it's like, where'd your property taxes go, you dumbass? Right? It's like, but that hand might very well receive a check. Those people are going to take this dub and run with it.
Absolutely, man. I hate this fucking state sometimes.
I hate this fucking state. I mean, I don't know. So, Connor, I don't know like how you feel about the like Project 2025 stuff, right? With like, so, I think even back before, I think when we did the last episode on the Texas Republican Party platform, I hadn't heard of 2025 yet.
Mm-hmm.
And when I heard it, I was like, oh, a lot of this is the Texas Republican Party platform, right? Like, regurgitated or like laundered through some, you know, yeah, Washington conservative think tank to make it sound slightly more palatable, right? It goes from like, it goes from Greg Abbott's kind of voice to J.D. Vance's voice, right? This like more polished, kind of somewhat more liberal like version. But in essence, it's a lot of the same shit. And I think like, if we talk about like a conservative project, right, these are the people that are really like running that project. If like Trumpism is going to come to mean a set of policies that are enacted and, you know, we look back and we go like, how the fuck did this happen? A lot of this is going to like literally take place in Texas first, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's pretty grim. It's pretty grim.
It's shit, really man. Grim. It's really, really grim. Like the idea of driving up to Dallas and driving by a state park and just seeing like a detention camp is pretty fucked up. I'm kind of at a loss for words. I know we usually can like joke around and goof around. But this is grim. This is really grim.
I mean, I'm laughing, but this shit is not funny, right? Like the Texas public schools, right? Like we grew up in Houston on the north, you know, on the, basically in the suburbs of Houston where the public schools were very good, right? Like reasonably good because of high property value, but like right across that border in like HISD and like Houston proper, I mean, you got ceilings falling down on kids, right? And they're like, you know, We really just need to let people like homeschool their kids and send them a check for it, or like pay them to go to some like, you know, private academy or some shit.
Yeah.
And that is fucking brutal, my man.
It's very brutal. And speaking of the school district that we attended, they just now unanimously, the board of Cypher ISD unanimously decided to teach the Bible in schools. So that's, We are doing this episode, one, to follow up on an earlier episode, and two, to show you, like, hey, this is how propaganda starts. Like, they're starting in the schools. They are changing the school curriculum, and they're creating a process of indoctrination. And so propaganda, you see a poster once, you're like, okay, whatever. You see a poster every single day, it's going to start to make an effect on you. We've talked about this in earlier episodes. So they know what they're doing. And you have to keep an eye out for it. I hope none of our listeners are in public schools. If you are, you are too young to be listening to this show.
We curse too much.
Yeah.
This is explicit.
But if you've got kids, if you've got nephews, if you've got friends with kids, it's important for you to keep an eye out on that. And if you really want to escape what they're teaching and what they're forcing kids to learn in public schools, which keep an eye on the Supreme Court, because if a case makes it all the way to the Supreme Court that you can't teach the Bible in schools, I got my money on the Supreme Court saying, yes, you fucking can. So if you want to avoid all that, I'm happy to announce the Propaganda's Private Academy.
We will be teaching your children for the low, low price of whatever the fuck Texas will give us. I'll move them back, baby. Yeah. I'm an educator now.
Not only will we teach you how to identify propaganda, we will only teach you propaganda that we come up with.
How about homestead schooling? Is there anything there? No?
Homestead schooling.
They're like, don't you have to have a teaching license? And I'm like, not technically on a farm. These are farm hands. He points to a bunch of toddlers.
Alec, it may not surprise you to learn that Texas does have some homestead homeschooling programs. I did a little bit of a deep dive into the Texas survivalist communities. And again, we'll be getting to that in a much future later episode. I had one thing to say about what you were saying earlier about, you know, there were people who were kind of hesitant to like go all in on Trump, and they were taking half measures, and now they just want to see him rise. It's not just the legislature. I'm worried about the people, like the voter turnout. You know, I did see some memes saying like, oh, people were willing to overlook his extremism. I hope they're going to say like, oh, shit, this is really bad. We should do something about this, instead of say, hell yeah, this rules.
Well, the crazy thing is I'm perennially unsure if people know this is happening. Right? I'm not joking in that like a tax cut comes in and everybody goes, yay. Right. Like everybody in the suburbs. Right. Let's be honest. Right. Like people who kind of politically matter, people that these kinds of people actually give a shit about. Because look, if you live in Houston, the Texas state legislature doesn't give a fuck what you think, right? Like they're trying to kill you. Right? Like they would if they could. But like to those suburbanites, for instance, right? Like a tax cut comes across really, really well. They see it immediately and they feel good about it. And the effects of strip mining the state so that like public education is essentially derelict, right? It's like an impossibility to go to like a, you know, a public school for one of the largest metropolitan areas in the country, right? And learn anything worth knowing, right? Like that is not something that you're going to know for approximately 18 years, right?
Yeah.
Or I mean, maybe a little bit less than that, but this kind of school funding shit is has a really long tail, right? These effects are not going to be seen forever. That's what's one of the reasons why like public policy is so important, right? Not to say that like you need to leave it up to experts. Like I believe in some function of democracy, but like holy shit, like there has to be some minimum expectation, and we're just we're like drilling through the floor, right? Like down into the fucking basement of expectations, right?
Yeah.
I mean, the Texas state in some function is going to like cease to exist.
Yeah.
Which is crazy.
Yeah, it'll be completely bare bones, which, hey, maybe you, we could rebuild it from the ground up. Who fucking knows? I don't know. All my political predictions this year, most of them did not come true. I'll just say that. But to your point about the people in the suburbs seeing like a tax bump or like a tax break come in and they're like, oh, that's good. I think it's very important to acknowledge that a lot of people in the suburbs aren't going to be seeing the impacts of these migrant roundups. If you want to know what these migrant roundups are going to look like, they're either going to be huge camps out in public parks, like public fields, or you should watch Children of Men, Alfonso Cuarón's Children of Men, because they have immigrant detainee camps in the city. And that's probably what it's going to be. Like they're going to round them up, they're going to keep them in the city, and then they're going to push them out to wherever the hell these camps go up.
I mean, that was like, if for those who like paid attention during the, you know, stultifying fucking American election, right? Like we do have some listeners that do not live in the great United States. There was a line of questioning because one of Trump's policies was going to round up, you know, like, I don't know, 10 million fucking illegal immigrants and like deport them. Right. There was a line of questioning to his vice presidential pick, a guy who championed this, J.D. Vance, asking him what this would look like. Right. Like, are they going to send basically the National Guard or Customs and Border ICE, like knocking on doors, like demanding to see someone's, you know, a birth certificate, right, or passport or something to prove their citizenship, because the United States does not currently have a system of, it seems amazing to people who live in other parts of the world, but we don't have like a list of all the citizens. We just don't have that, right? And his answer was pretty mealy-mouthed, right? But a lot of people that champion those kinds of things are like, yeah, that's a really good idea. We should send, you know, the Gestapo door to door to find these like fucking non-citizens and like rip them out of their homes. And I promise you, if like Greg Abbott and the people that kind of swirl around him have their way and get enough like federal money, they are going to raise their hands and be like, Mr. Trump, give us a shot, right? We're ready right now to start doing the like fucking migrant roundups, right? We're going to do the camp shit. We'd be happy to.
It's depraved.
It's fucked.
It's also like, I know some people have pointed this out, but Texas Republicans aren't really talking about it. Is the open secret in Texas is that, look, migrants make up a significant chunk of our labor force. And I don't think Texas has a plan for that. It's not like they're...
I don't think anybody in the country has a plan for that. I mean, it's true of Texas, right? But there are also certain realities about the base level of public education that you need to provide to make people into usable, you know, laborers and citizens, right? That is also being ignored here. So, like, don't put it past them that they'll just do this and, like, also, you know, crater the economy. Like, that's also possible.
Yeah. It's weird how you'll get a governor like Greg Abbott who just makes Rick Perry seem like such a voice of reason.
Yeah, it's getting worse.
Yeah. When Rick Perry, there's a great quote, if you build a 10-foot wall, the 11-foot ladder business is going to see a boom. I'm like, any cybersecurity expert can tell you, no matter how strong your firewall is, someone's going to find a way through it.
And, well, I mean, But you're saying something reasonable, right? You're like, well, immigration is about incentives and like, you know, the relative inequality of Mexico, or like whether or not people can pursue like meaningful work there, right? Or like at the baseline, right? Make a living doing agricultural work, right? Or should they just displace themselves and go across and pick strawberries every year, right? But that's not something that we're interested in addressing, right?
No. We have no national interest in investing in like Latin and South America and countries that neoliberalist American policies have like decimated. We have no interest in like kind of investing in these places. We just have an interest in making sure that they don't come over here and we can go there and get all the lithium we want.
So like speaking of Mexico, I'm really interested to see what happens with like Texaco with Mexico Texas relations, given that like Claudia Sheinbaum, who's like the she just won election in Mexico. She's basically the successor to AMLO, right? Mm-hmm. You know, a pretty left-leaning administration, and their response to Trump's like call for these unilateral sanctions would be to sanction the U.S. back. And it would be fascinating to see what would happen to the Texas economy if all of that like cross-border industrial stuff just like shut off overnight. I would be pretty scared if I was like a Texas legislature about that kind of thing. Hey, but again, right, like if the voter isn't paying attention to right, like what the Texas legislature is talking about, or like a lot of people aren't even paying attention, right, like a federal level. I wouldn't be surprised if a lot of Texas state legislators aren't actually paying attention to like what the implications of their own laws are, right? Especially vis-a-vis something as kind of like tenuous and far off seeming as, you know, foreign economic relations with a country like Mexico, right? Because all that shit gets done in Washington, right? Like they have nothing to do with it.
That, correct me if I'm wrong, but that happened in 2023 last year where railroad crossings between Texas and Mexico were shut down as Biden's response to the border crisis. And people were like, can you please reopen the rail crossings for the love of God? Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there's a tremendous amount of business. I can't remember, but it's like, you know, famously America's biggest trading partner is like actually Mexico, right? When you count all the like cross border manufacturing stuff, right? So it would not be surprising to me at all, right, that basically a tremendous amount of business connected to, I don't know, car manufacturing in the United States would literally go under if this kind of thing happened for real. I mean, there very well could be carve outs to it, right? But that's not good.
I also saw Sheinbaum said that if you deport everyone, we're just going to deport all the Americans living in Mexico City.
Like, oh no, we don't want them back.
Yeah, those artists.
Artists or like those old people that all retired at like, I mean, I guess they're just gonna move to Florida. I don't give a fuck. They're sure as fuck not moving to Louisiana.
Yeah. Okay, do you have any Louisiana stories?
Not other than like a bunch of people learned, a bunch of people during this election learned about like Louisiana's fucked up districting. Yeah. Like people started looking at the map and they're like, yo, what the fuck is going on in Louisiana? Which, hey, by the way, signed off on by a circuit court, right? I think we talked about that on
one of our earlier episodes. Yes.
And I think like episode two.
Yeah.
And the Supreme Court didn't hear it. So that circuit court decision stands. We will have two Democratic legislatures and four or Congress people and four Republican ones, because I guess that's how the race statistics work out. It's a very odd argument to me, but it's standing. We have the craziest district you've ever fucking seen, Louisiana 6.
It's pretty wild. It's up there with Dan Crenshaw's district.
Yeah, the eye patch district. We love it.
Yeah. So I'll end with this. There's been some bills that were added looking into covenant marriages, which are basically this bill doesn't necessarily like force you to stay in a marriage, but it does say like, hey, look, if you agree to a covenant marriage, you have to get a covenant style divorce, which is 5 hours of premarital counseling.
So this is elective, right? So you can go to the state and say like, I'm special and super religious and I want the state to give me a super marriage.
Right. But you can't get out of that super marriage unless you go through the counseling with either a mental health professional, your clergyman, or a marriage counselor. But this bill does say that, like you, which is different from other states that have covenant marriages, is that you can leave whenever it's abusive or, you know, cruelty, adultery, abandonment, or other justification. So it's basically just like a non-legally binding kind of thing. It's like you
said. Who's going to get these? I mean, I guess dorks and nerds is going to get some poor girl is going to get like pushed into doing a fucking covenant marriage and then yeah. have a hard time divorcing her shitty husband.
Some child bride of a 72-year-old.
Yeah, awesome. Very yeah, cool.
Awesome.
Has anybody ever brought up the fact that these fucking Republicans are just shills for counselors? It's the same as a fucking abortion thing. You have to go to some jackass to have him like read you a fucking pamphlet so that you can get a fucking abortion. It's embarrassing, dog.
Oh yeah.
What are we doing?
Nothing right. And that bill, that covenant marriage bill, was filed by Cody Vassett of Angleton. And he filed one more bill that I think tells us a little bit about Mr. Vassett as well as some of his friends. House Bill 732, which would repeal a section of the Texas Family Code that allows for marriages to be annulled because of impotency.
Wait, you can get your marriage annulled in Texas because you can't fuck? That's so funny, dude.
Oh, yeah. And
that
I think
rules.
I think
more ladies need to come out and they need to get this fucking their marriages annulled because their husbands can't get it up.
Yeah, you only have so long. Who knows if this bill will pass? But if your husband isn't laying you down, then you got to get out of there quick.
But signore, my wife, she no fuck me.
It's just so funny that Texas made sure it's like you can your whole marriage can just be completely dissolved because your husband impotent. Is that where you can't fuck, or is that just like you can't have a kid?
I assume it's because you can't have kids, but I think it's way funnier if you have ED and your wife just like burns your fucking marriage certificate.
Oh, nope. It's unable to achieve a sexual erection. He can't get
oh, shit,
up.
You literally can't get up? Oh, no.
Yeah. And
dude,
we
ladies,
had to look
whomst amongst us, dude. Yeah.
Well, I just want to say for our listeners, we had to look that up because it's not a problem for us. And
yeah, of course not. That's dude, that is one for the fucking ladies, okay?
Yeah.
I think they should keep that in.
I do too, and they're just taking it away.
I know. Okay, I was gonna say this is a true victimization of women, but I really should not say that. No. That's not funny.
Unless we cut never mind.
No, we're not cutting anything.
All right. Anyway, we could end on a good note as well if we want.
I was going to kind of like I'm waiting to talk about all this fucking like Twitch drama, but it's so like annoying and fucking stupid. It's just that it's like Israel related, but like by the time we'd ever record about it, I think it'll have blown over.
Yeah.
Or Twitch will have exploded and everybody's going to know about it. Oh, I think Hassan's going on like CNN or something.
Hassan, you gotta stop. Do not go on TV. It's over for you if you go on TV, man.
Well, they did like a fucking Fox News write up. Oh, they already released it. It's like in response they did like a write up of him and like a short video apparently because of that stupid meme that everybody was like the left needs a Joe Rogan. It's just like oh my god,
we are happy to apply for the job.
Yeah. We need a couple of morons that live in Austin to talk about shit that they have fucking no idea about. Dude, yeah, raising our hands.
I think we are so stupid that we could pull this off. Do you think your wife would let you move to Austin, Texas for $1 million?
Fuck maybe, dude. We could have our own comedy club where we bomb. We go on stage, we sell tickets, and then we fucking bomb. Look up, listeners, look up compilations from the recent Rogan special. Not good. Very, very bad.
All right. Any parting words for our listeners?
Yeah, fuck Texas. Dude, do mess with Texas. Texas fucking sucks dick, dude. Actually, Houston's all right. I'm never moving back, but H-Town's treated me very well.
Houston's all right. I do love
fuck
Houston.
Austin though. Fuck Austin, everybody that lives there, and all the legislatures that go there.
Fuck out. Fuck Austin. Fuck Dallas and Denton. You're cool. Fuck San Antonio, except the Spurs. Shout out to Coach Pop. I hope you're recovering well.
I forgot that Connor's a basketball guy. It's crazy.
The Spurs are cool, man. Coach Popovich is. How's he doing? Let me look this up.
let me Google. Jamie, pull that up.
Well, he had a stroke, so. Yeah.
Not great. It's about, yeah. Is it Chrisman level of stroke or less? I don't know. They got crazy sports medicine shit. They could probably grow your brain here. Back.
Victor Wembanyama offers a worry update on Craig Popovich. So maybe not good.
Not so good. Okay.
It just sucks, man. You should look into Coach Pop. He's like one of the more progressive coaches. People love him because of his politics. And I'm sure there are people who hate him because of his politics.
I'm sorry if I made fun of you and we didn't cut it.
All right. I'm going to stop to record.
Okay. Wait, hold on. Let's do an outro.
Oh, yeah.
Did you legitimately stop it? Oh, my God.
No. I didn't.
We're
still
terrible
rolling
at our jobs.
It's still
this
rolling.
Is not a job. We don't get paid. I'm
here's
sorry.
The thing. Here's the
keep
thing.
Saying it.
Here's the thing. Normally, I would say my usual catchphrase, but our last guest, Amr, came at me a little hard about it.
Yeah, you roasted Connor.
I didn't realize that he thought it sucked so bad.
Nice Canadian accent, bro.
Yeah.
Oh, I love it.
It's like, I had to tell my mom that it was so bad.
He's Arab sounding. Holy shit. I'm glad this podcast is fun for me because I don't give a fuck if they like it.
So, Amr, I'll say that you hurt my feelings and I expect you to say that you're sorry for saying that. And maybe we can talk about this over a bag of milk or whatever you drink up there.
That's right, baby. Propaganda's taking shots at our guests.
Yeah.
Roasted back. Let's see what Armor's reply will be. Oh my God.
Yeah, well, you'll end up texting him a month later, be like, so are you like not mad at Connor? He's like, oh, I didn't listen. What happened?
What? Holy shit.
So yeah, I'm open to changing the catchphrase. I could say
fuck that.
That about does it for us at Propagandos for Alec Yoder.
Keep your eyes on the skies. Excelsior, I'll fucking do it, dude. Excelsior and keep your eyes on the skies. How was that? That was pretty good.
I like it. You know, I think it's a good catchphrase. Could you imagine seeing that on a shirt or a mug one day?
Yeah, I could. Oh, wait. Okay. You're going to like this. So AV, like, he's a little baby, right? So he, like, mirrors shit that you do. And it's shocking, like, how fast they learn, right? So I started doing, like, and, like, making farting sounds. And he started to do, like, I can't do it. He does this. So on the car ride home today, we just did that back and forth the entire time. You're just making farting noises at each other.
Wow. Apple does not fall far from the tree there.
It rules, dude. You just make this like little mongrel child and you're like, I love you so much. this little farting baby.
When he becomes a teenager, you're going to have that moment where you're like, I just don't understand. He used to be my best friend. We used to make fart sounds in the car together.
Where is this coming from?
I don't even recognize my own son anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's going to roll roll his eyes at your fart
sounds.
Dude,
I don't want to do fart sounds. Stop doing fart sounds in front of my friends.
And the cat's in the cradle with the silver spoon, man.
A little boy blue and the man in the moon.
When you're going to fart.
When you're coming home, son, I don't know when. We'll be together then.
When you're making fart sounds, I don't know when we'll make a poopy pants. Then
just being hurt that you think your son's been making fart sounds without you. I thought we had something, son.
Yeah, you overhear him doing fart sounds, and you like get excited, and you like peek into his room, and he's doing it with his friends, and you're like, oh.
That he's doing it with a girl.
Yeah. He and a girl are sitting on the bed and they're just doing
they're just sitting, looking at each other, doing fart sounds back and forth. Oh, my son is retarded.
You just poke your head and be like, hey y'all, I said leave this door open, all right?
Leave room for Jesus.